Earth Day 2022 is around the corner on April 22nd, and the theme is Invest in Our Planet. There's no better way to invest in the planet than to join the fight against climate change. The United Nations has launched a climate action campaign called Act Now to help us all do our part. They outlined 10 impactful actions we can do. There's even an app. Go to un.org/actnow to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles, from executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with celebrity endorsements, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 20 years later, and Welcome to Pound Town.
What a range.
Leave them guessing, wondering what the hell that means. Yeah. Okay, so off the top, Tea Time is checking in with celebrity endorsements. First up, pretty big news, especially for us at Tea Time that love makeup and also love Olivia Rodrigo, is Olivia Rodrigo is Glossier's first celebrity ambassador, which is really cool. Honestly, a pretty good fit. They're like targeting the younger audience. She's extremely popular. Also has that like very cool natural makeup, like no makeup makeup look really down. So they are clearly trying new things, because in January, as you guys remember, they laid off maybe like a third of their employees. So they're like big swings with Olivia Rodrigo now. She is going to work with the brand on new products. And a there's a curated makeup set on Glossier.com. If you guys want to check that out, there's basically, it's like, what are her favorite products on that website? And she really loves the boy brow and the ultra lip and the pro tip eyeliner. So honestly, great picks, because I do like all three of those. But yeah, they're going to partner for other things, like, I don't know, new launches, kind of the brand vision, which is pretty cool. Honestly, might get me back into buying Glossier. What do you guys
think? Yeah, I made the mistake. Here's the thing about Glossier is like, their concealer lasts forever, like those little pots of concealer. And it lasts especially long if you buy it on sale in like early 2020 and then you stop wearing makeup for 2 years. And I was like thrilled that I, you know, got the right shade. I was like, I love this concealer. But then like, I've had this little pot of concealer for like going on like 3 years now. And I'm like, I need to replace it. But like, there's so much of it left. And like, it's getting a little gooey. Like, you can just tell that like, I need a new one. But also, so anyway, my tip is Glossier, great, but like, don't buy it and then stop wearing makeup for 2 years.
Their makeup does last an extremely long time. I have a lot of products in my makeup drawer just hanging out. A lot of their lip colors, like this ultra lip I have.
I do have that cloud paint also that will last me until I die. They'll put it on my corpse to inject some color back into my face. Like, it lasts forever.
I have owned that for so long. Haven't made a dent. Okay, what's the next celebrity endorsement?
I did not come up with any celebrity endorsements this week, so I just took the one that no one wanted, which is pretty on brand for Miss Rita Ora, who is the new face of Prada. And apparently they want to make the brand edgy. So that's what they said when they signed her for £5 million. Which the funny part, it's like, okay, fine. She's not the most edgy person, but like, I guess, sure. And what was funny was I was reading this on the Daily Mail and I scrolled down. I was like, let's find out what the people think about Rita Ora, ex Prada. And one commenter goes, that's it. I'm done with Prada. They're a brand for useless goons now, I guess. I'm like, okay, first of all, Mr. Daily Mail comment section, like how much Prada were you buying before? Like, are you going to be making a big dent in their business since you are clearly spending your time in this comment section hating on Rita Ora? Nothing also, makes me want to like defend someone.
What's wrong with Rita Ora?
Okay, but I agree. But also like, what's with Rita Ora? Like why? I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, we can't do better. You can't do like, I don't know, Zoe Kravitz for Prada. Like she's edgier than Rita Ora. Oh, right?
Interesting.
I guess. Just, like fashion wise.
Oh, I think Rita Ora is pretty edgy. You know, she's always like the look. Like what is the Daily Mail? They love her. And they're like, she's showing off some underboob in a
clearly the commenters don't love her, but yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I felt like this was kind of random, but what do I know? I know nothing about fashion.
Me either. It, she doesn't seem like she's the most like high fashion person alive, but it's fine. So yeah, I immediately, as soon as I read that, I was like, I actually will defend Rita Ora with my life against this comment section. So
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, nothing will like make me pivot more than an angry, largely male comment section. So yeah, I'm into that now. Go Rita Ora. I will start buying Prada for you.
Great.
Yep.
Perfect. Okay, what's the next one?
Okay, we learned that Kim Kardashian, she went on this, you know, I've never heard of this podcast, but I guess they do a lot of Kardashian stuff because this is the second time I've seen it referenced. The Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast. Kim Kardashian came on. Kim, come on to D-Time. That'd be fun. But she said that she never wore underwear until she invented Skims, which is just like, it's a great brand endorsement for Skims, obviously.
It is.
Right? She said that she declared, I never wore underwear until we invented this style, referring to her brand's dipped front thong, which sells for $18. She said, I was a non-underwear kind of girl for a long time just because they bothered me. So for a good last few years, I just wouldn't wear underwear. And now I do. And I'm obsessed.
Risky for anyone, but especially risky for a celebrity who's getting in and out of cars and dresses and photographed all the time. Like, I just don't believe that for that specific reason.
Okay, wait. Also, like, is this actually an endorsement of Skims? Or do you want to be buying your underwear from someone who really knows underwear and has worn underwear their whole life and knows like the back of their hand?
That
for
is
someone
true.
To come in who never wears underwear and there's an...
And be like, Amelia. I invented the thong. Yeah.
Yes. And you remember... In the most recent Kardashians Hulu reboot, whatever, they talked about this thong that she's referencing. And Khloe's like, it's too thin. I hate it. You have to make it wider and more coverage.
Right.
Because this girl's never wearing underwear. She doesn't know what it's like.
That's
so true.
That's a good point.
That's an awesome point. And also, I'm actually reading the entire Page Six article that this is from. But she talked to Cara Delevingne for a 2015 interview with the Evening Standard. And she said, see, this is contradictory. She said, I only just started wearing underwear a month ago, 2015, and I never wore underwear until then. I like hanky panky underwear. And then she replied to Cara Delevingne, who's made a comment about crotchless shapewear. And she said, oh, the ones where you can pee? But I always pee all over my Spanx. It's a disaster. They aren't crotchless enough. So what is the truth?
Does she consider Spanx not to be underwear, I guess?
I guess.
I guess some of them
aren't. I guess, but I'm confused.
It's a thin line.
It really is. Regardless, Amelia and I will still spend our money on Skims, unfortunately.
You're right, yeah. Damn it.
Okay, last one.
Okay, yes, last one. Everyone knows Coachella, the first weekend happened last weekend. The second weekend is this coming weekend. I'm sure if you are, you know, into influencer style at all, you've heard of Revolve, which is just a hub for fashion. And I guess they hold this thing called Revolve Festival, which is separate from Coachella, but it's on the same weekend and influencers are shipped out and they do their thing and then they go to Coachella. Anyway, people are comparing this to the Fyre Festival because, you know, they have all these influencers and celebrities coming. They were like, we have Kendall Jenner's tequila brand. There's going to be performances by Post Malone, Jack Harlow and Willow Smith, blah, blah, blah. And now people are saying, well, guess what? This wasn't fun because you didn't give us the right directions for this mini festival. And now we're circling the parking lot and we don't know where to go. So that was issue one. And then turns out an influencer named Bunny Barbie. I love how creative they're getting with their names nowadays. She said she had a VIP wristband, and this is from Delisted, but still had to wait 2 hours in line before boarding the bus back from the Revolve Festival. She said that people were rushing the bus and she and her friends were almost trampled.
Yeah, there was a lot. This bus issue I saw a lot of on TikTok. Like, there, all of them were waiting for hours in the hot sun. It gets so hot over there. Sure. There's no water, no shade, no nothing.
It's not good.
I know. No, it's not. But they came out with a statement. Did you see that? They apologized.
Oh, okay. Well, that's. Thank you. I get kind of too late, but okay.
Thank you. I don't know. It feels like logistically, perhaps not that hard, but I don't know. Right? I mean, I've never planned anything like this. I should plan one and see what
Liz Kelly would never mess up the bus system, is what she's saying.
I actually wouldn't. I planned many buses in college, never mess up one. But anyway, yeah, disaster. Should we move on? Next category?
Let's do it.
Okay. Actually, speaking of Coachella, we're doing This Week in Social Media, Relationship News, Not Worth the Tea. Go ahead, Kate.
Timothée Chalamet. Went to Coachella. Of course he did. Mm. And several things here. There's a headline and then I think people buried the lead here a little bit and I want to talk to you guys about it. But long story short, he was seen kissing a model at Coachella. And it was on Dumois. It was like all over Twitter. Mm. And people identified her as a Nigerian model and activist, Sarah Talabi. She's a twin. And Sarah, first of all, talked to Page Six and had just a lot of I think unintentionally funny things to say. First of all, she said, I was at Coachella this weekend as well as the Revolve Festival and a few other private parties. That was me in the photos. My twin sister, Leah Talabi, was there too. So like they dressed the same and they both went. So I love that like it could have been either of them. Like I just think that's funny. Mm-hmm. She goes, we were all just hanging out and vibing with the music. It was the greatest night of my life. Like why? But why?
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Was it Timmy or like, was it also just the greatest night? I just have questions about why it was the greatest night of your life. Then she goes, everyone is asking me if I was kissing at Timothée Chalamet at Coachella. And that is a good question. It's like, yeah, it is.
Whoa.
But a great question would be asking our world leaders why the earth is now losing 1.2 trillion tons of ice each year due to global warming and why climate crisis reform has been completely ineffective. I encourage you to contact your local representatives and ask them that instead.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So her. A really good deflection by her.
Amazing. Yeah, the ultimate deflection.
She had the greatest night of her life. She made out with Timothée Chalamet. And then she also just snuck in a little bit of climate change activism there, which is great.
Wow.
So yeah, love that. Seems fun. Seems like they both had the greatest night of their life, maybe. Hmm. However, here's what I found when I was looking through these articles about Timmy and Sarah Talabi. Timothée Chalamet was in the VIP section of Neon Carnival. He was with her. He was with a bunch of other Victoria's Secret models. More importantly, he was there with Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire. Is Timothée Chalamet the newest member of the Pussy Posse?
Yes.
Oh, is this Pussy Posse 2022 like the junior varsity edition? Are they inspiring future generations to follow in their footsteps? Do they know each other? Are they friends? Is there... like it's been hazed. Is there some sort of ceremony?
They're like, inducting a new member.
Right. Which actually, of course, like he is so primed for like it's this perfect. Pussy Posse.
I'm happy spot. For him.
He really is. He's got like the, you know, I mean, he's essentially to a degree dating a ton of models, much like Leo, has like, you know, the early career Oscar nomination prestige stuff. I mean, he's much younger and, you know, I hope that he settles down a little bit earlier, possibly. But I was like, as soon as I read this, I was like, that makes sense, actually. That makes a lot of sense.
As a Timothy stan, would you be disappointed if he went the route of the Pussy Posse?
You know, I mean, what was he? Before, he was having dinner with, like, his best friend Kid Cudi and Kanye West and, like, Pete Davidson. So, like, I mean, it's just varying levels of evil, right? Like, he's not like he has a friend group that I feel amazing about.
Yeah.
I don't love this, I would say, possibly, but
he's a big yacht guy, right?
He is. Yeah. The pictures of him and Lily Rose Depp on the yacht.
I feel like if you're part of the Pussy Posse, you got to love a yacht.
Got to love a yacht. Got to love like a city bike.
I can't believe how many times we said that word.
Yacht?
City bike?
No, Amelia.
Pussy Posse on
Yes.
On
sorry.
Yes. It's just an official brand, you know?
It is.
Anyway, yeah, I just think this is huge news. I think we need to keep an eye on him and this friendship.
Okay, yeah, great. Except they're so shadowy. I barely see Leonardo DiCaprio anywhere. Yeah,
they're shadow also, figures. I have a feeling they were just like in proximity and like weren't really like hanging out.
Yeah.
But funny. I'm manifesting something here.
Okay, yeah, good. Well, if you see Timothy Chalamet start talking about crypto, you know it's
oh boy, it's too late. That's probably inevitable. Let's face it.
Okay, next one in relationship news is there's a piece of news, but there's actually a reason I brought this up. So Sophia Richie is engaged now as of this week, which is just great, to a man named Elliot Grange. They have been dating for about a year, and Elliot Grange is the son of Universal Music Group CEO. And so that they have been friends for years. Obviously, he like is in a certain circle with her and is also really close to her brother, Miles. Okay, but that's not why I bring this up. This on itself is like, okay, great. Happy for you guys. But Scott Disick posted on Instagram him on not a yacht, but like some boat in Miami right after they got engaged and said, "In the 305, just call me Good Luck Chuck." And if you guys recall the movie Good Luck Chuck, it's where all of his ex-girlfriends, they actually find like true love after sleeping.
I'm a Good Luck Chuck. I'm 4 for 4.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Everyone I've ever had a relationship has married or gotten engaged to the person they dated after me. Scott Disick and I are in an incredibly exclusive club.
First of all, you should get together with Scott Disick.
I cannot believe you just disclosed private info or like personal info about yourself on this podcast. I'm so happy and thrilled.
I didn't name names. If you want me to go like year by year, I can, but I'm literally 4 for 4.
Wow.
Kate. So Scott, listen, if we want to, I'm just saying, like, what would happen if I dated Scott Disick? Would we both then find the love of our lives? Do we need to somehow make this happen?
It's too much power in one couple.
I think the world would explode.
I didn't know that.
That's hilarious.
Scott, incredible. Same, yeah. I was prepared to check out as soon as you mentioned Scott Disick. I'm glad that I paid attention to that.
I'm happy you stayed. Yeah, that's all I had to say. It was like he has a sense of humor about these things, as usual.
Thank you, Scott. You have to, you know?
And Kate.
You have to.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. Okay, next one.
There was a big Rihanna rumor this week, and it happened late on Thursday, which was after we recorded. So immediately I believed it because all the important things happen directly after we record. There was a rumor that A$AP Rocky cheated on Rihanna with her friend and shoe designer, Amina Muadi. So I didn't look much into it. I was like, of course we missed this huge piece of relationship news on a tea time day. Classic. However, it was, you know, it was circulated all over social media, et cetera, et cetera. But in about 24 hours, it was proven to be false. TMZ came out with a thing, was like, Rihanna and A$AP Rocky are like on their way to, you know, Barbados together. They're perfectly happy. This didn't happen. People kind of started looking into any sources that were cited. And it was a fashion influencer named Louis Pisano who started this rumor.
Louis.
And ultimately, they like tweeted out an apology. They were like, "I made a dumb decision to tweet some information I'd received. I'm not going to cite my sources or blame others, but like I shouldn't have done it." The shoe designer also came out with a statement that was like, basically, like, we don't like to address rumors, but like let Rihanna live her life. And that is what I would like to say, is we have to stop making up rumors about Rihanna that come from nothing. First, you know, back in the day, it was like, who she's dating. Is she dating Drake? Is she not dating Drake? She is dating Drake. She's not dating Drake. Then it was new music. You know, it was like every couple of months, it was like Rihanna's working on an album. Then it was the pregnancy rumors. Like every couple of months, it was like Rihanna's pregnant. And now that she is pregnant and she is happy with someone and, you know, she's not working on new music. She is. Now this, I'm like, can we just stop making up shit about Rihanna? Because everyone immediately believes it, which like, I guess I am part of the problem because I also believe this without looking into it. For a short amount of time. But it's just like every day there's a new rumor that's false about Rihanna that just didn't need to be made up. And it's hard for me to think of another celebrity that has this level of like constant rumor mill where it's like has no basis in reality. People just make shit up. And I just don't know why. I guess we just love to talk about Rihanna. but we just got to stop, you know, just let her live her life.
Especially now. It's let true. Her live. You know, like, she's pregnant. This right. is why Kylie hid in a room right. for her first pregnancy with Stormy. Yeah. Like, just let her be, please.
And let us live our lives, you know? I can't be, I can't too. Be, like, getting worked up about fake stuff about Rihanna every day. It's exhausting. It's exhausting. Yeah.
True. Okay, last one. Relationship news, I think.
Yes, I always feel like weird reporting about children. I mean, she's not a child. She's 20. But, you know, I mean, she's, it's, the thing is like, it's, her dad became president. You know, it's not any fault of her own that she is in the public eye. So,
right.
But this is happy news. This is happy news. Because it seems like Sasha Obama, who is my favorite Obama daughter, has a new
of
boyfriend.
Two.
Of two. Yeah, that's right.
For Malia, damn.
Love Malia too. I do. I love them both. But I just, Sasha, she just, like, I remember seeing her in her little pea coat on Inauguration Day being like, oh my God, she's so cute. Anyway, it seems like Sasha Obama and Clifton Powell Jr., a former college basketball player who now works as a commercial director, have reportedly begun seeing each other after Sasha moved to Los Angeles to study at USC because she had transferred from the University of Michigan. And this Clifton Powell Jr. is the son of Ray actor Clifton Powell, who I'm guessing is Clifton Powell Sr. But anyway, this is in Page Six. But I thought this was sweet news. They have a picture of him. He's really cute. So good for you, Sasha Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's also really cute. So they make a very cute couple. And
very
it's just
cute
like,
couple.
Yeah, I'm just like, this is great. I love this. What a beautiful couple.
Yeah. That was a nice way to end that category. I appreciate that, Amelia.
Hey, anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Okay, we're moving on to cringe mode. This week on The Ringer was rom-com week, where there's a lot of great content on there. I'd highly recommend it. But we are going to cover My Big Fat Greek Wedding. It's a 20-year anniversary. Amelia and I are obsessed with this movie. Kate, I think, watch it for the first time.
Amazing.
Kate, would you like to do the plot?
Sure, I can give it a shot. This movie, I'll get into it. It was not what I thought it was about.
Really?
In a good way, in a fine way. So Tula is a young Greek woman who has a very overwhelming family. She lives in Chicago. They run a restaurant. She's just kind of grown up and been a little bit resentful, I think, of her roots and her culture and kind of her overbearing parents. Mm. And she meets this guy. What's his name? Like Greg? What's his
Ian
name?
Ian Miller.
Ian. Where did I get Greg? No idea where I got Greg. Sorry. His name's Ian. He's not Greek.
Sorry.
And basically they like sneak around. They date. She's not supposed to date someone who isn't Greek. She's, you know, still living with her parents and trying to hide it from them. Ultimately, they get engaged. They fall in love. Not in that order. They fall in love. They get engaged. And basically, the whole movie is them sort of getting accepted by her family and him sort of being having some culture shock, being injected into this like Greek world. Mm-hmm. And it's all about their wedding and their love. And it's pretty simple, actually. Not like a ton of some, like, you know, classic series of unfortunate events go on here.
Some classic hijinks. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. But yeah, cute movie.
Yeah. And before I get into the highlights, I do want to actually highlight Allison Herman's article on The Ringer. It's 20 Years Married, How My Big Fat Greek Wedding Became a Smash Hit. Just delightful. Talked to a lot of great people. Very well done. So this is more about the movie itself. And then you should go and read that afterwards. Okay, let's do the highlights.
Yeah, you know, just kind of going off of Kate's lovely description, I think this movie is just, it really is so well done in every way. I mean, I had rewatched this movie probably like 6 months ago randomly, because it's literally 90 minutes, which again, you know, love that.
We love it.
Yeah. And was so excited to watch it again for this because it is just, again, it's so well done in every way possible. It's the time, the story, the characters, the narration, it's
start
everything
to
is
finish,
wonderful.
Awesome
start
movie.
Start to finish.
Love
awesome
it.
Movie. No yeah. notes.
Perfect. No notes. Agreed. Kate?
Yeah, I opened up this outline and there were like 7 highlights and no lowlights. I was like, okay, for the sake of content, I'm going to have to like do some balancing here. Yeah. So I'm not a hater. But one of my highlights is that I love, first of all, you know, we love a movie makeover, but I also love an efficient makeover. Like, yes. She's not, you know, she doesn't change that much about herself. It's more like, you know, she puts on contacts and she learns how to do her hair. She learns what curl cream is. Like, you know, she stops brushing it.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like a good, simple, but effective movie makeover.
Yes. And the great thing about this movie makeover is that she does it on her own. And it's not some like hairstylist pal being like, we're going to fix you up. Or like a fun-loving butler being like, we'll get you to be a princess now. It's like actually just her in her bathroom trying these things. And she wants to do it on her own because, she, you know, she wants to put herself out there more. She wants to be happy. There's this great moment where she like, you know, earlier in the movie, it flashes to her in elementary school where all these dumb kids are making fun of her, like, quote, like smelly lunches. And then she goes to school to learn more about computers in this movie. And she like sits her ass down at a group full of blondes and is like, hi, can I sit here? And they're all so nice. And they're like awesome to her. And I just love it. I love her bettering herself just for herself.
Yeah. Also, like, it sort of, you know, they start out at the same place as like Anne Hathaway in The Princess Diaries, where they have the big bushy curly hair and the glasses and the brows.
Yeah.
But she doesn't straighten her hair. You know, she doesn't get rid of the brows. Like, she still looks like very Greek and like she's embracing like her features and her hair, like, and just kind of enhancing them.
Yeah.
And I like that she didn't sort of totally abandon that and sort of in favor of this like life-changing makeover. It's just kind of like she learned how to work with what she has, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Agreed.
Also on that note, I love, you know, we love a makeover, but and also montages, like the dating montage where all those Greek guys come over. It's subtle, but it's really funny. It's really funny. And then also there are so many great quotes in this movie. I mean,
too many.
I found myself even mouthing along really unremarkable lines. Like, I love her dad. He's so funny. He's like, why you want to leave me? When she's like asking to go to school or something.
My sister and I still, when we get together, we like, you know, your collarbone, and we go like, I could snap you like a chicken. We do that all the time. It's so quotable for being a
so
short
quotable.
Movie.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, this was a staple in the Kelly household. Amelia, I know me and you, this movie goes way back for us, so we love it. I've watched this, I mean, upwards of maybe 50 times at this point.
It
never goes wrong. I always like it. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys mentioned all the quotes and I was ready to just let you like take this over, but there was one quote that I thought was really funny and very relatable where she's like very quietly to her mom after she introduces this guy is like, I love him. And her mom's like, oh, Tula, eat something. It's like, honestly, it's worth a shot. It's like one of those where it's like, do my friends hate me or do I need to go to sleep? Like, do I love him or like, do I just need to eat lunch? It could go either way.
That's really funny. Agreed. Yeah. Also, what I love about this romance in this movie is that it's so easy. It doesn't have to be all complex and complicated with this. Like, they do have a meet cute, I will say, but it's not like made from the gods. Like, he comes to the restaurant a couple months later or whatever. He's eating a hot dog and happens to stare at her at a window when she's working at the travel agency. And he just comes in and then they're like laughing. And then eventually he's like, "You want to get dinner?" And she's like, "Yeah." And that's it. And then they go to dinner and then they fall in love. And it's like, you know, it doesn't have to be so complex. It's really nice.
Yes. On that note, totally agree. The whole thing is very low key. And like, obviously, you know, they have the families to complicate things. So I guess that's why they themselves in this movie are shown to be like very sort of chill and not wanting to complicate things. But like the proposal, like he just proposes to her in bed. Like he's like, "You want to marry me?" And she's like, "Yeah." And then like after the wedding, they have, you know, she is like, "Oh, you know, my aunts did my hair and my cousins did my makeup." And she just kind of looks and feels ridiculous. And they're just laughing about it, like in the limo afterwards, like the chillest bride of all time. She's like wiping it off. She's like, he's like, "You look like a big frosted cupcake." She just laughs. Like they're just having a good time laughing at sort of this, you know, any sort of snafus that have happened along the way, which is just great.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I just added one last thing because all the little one-off characters, like the grandma, who just, she doesn't really even have any lines. Like she just says like, "You Turks" or something. And they like, they brought her over from Greece and now she lives with us. And she's always trying to escape, which I love. And like there's the neighbor has to bring her back. And she's just fun. And then she's also sweet. Like when the night before the wedding, she shows Tula her own wedding photo and like the little wreath around her head, and I was just like, "This is so cute."
I know, we really had to dive deep for these lowlights. You could tell that we're just like fishing.
It was literally empty when I opened up the outline. Like everything else was filled in.
I know.
Okay, so I went on a journey with this movie. First of all, my first lowlight was like the fact that I don't have Greek food in front of me at this moment. Mm. And specifically when his parents show up for this dinner to like, they thought it was going to be this quiet dinner introducing his parents to her parents, and they pull up to the house and it's like every single member of her extended Greek family, like dancing around a hog roast. And first of all, I was like, "I'm hungry." Second of all, I was like, if you show up for like something that you thought was going to be a boring, awkward dinner, and it turns out to be like a super lit hog roast party outside, I'm like, that's an improvement. Can we not act like this is like a huge issue? Like that's,
I know there's such,
I would
squares.
Be thrilled, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. Here's my biggest lowlight. And this is absolutely a me problem. This is not a problem with this movie. I 100% thought this movie took place in Greece and was all about a wedding. Like I dialed this up and I was like ready for some under the Tuscan sun, like Mamma Mia vacation movie vibes, and not like them going on vacation, like me going on vacation while I'm watching it, you know? And it started out and I was like, okay, like, oh, like we're, you know, they haven't even met yet. Like for some reason I thought it started out, they were like an established couple. No. So first half hour, I'm like, okay, they have to meet, they have to get together, whatever. Then, you know, they get engaged. I'm like, okay, like, cool, great. Like, when are we going to Greece? And then she shows up at the school and she's like, "Let's just run away. Like, let's just elope. Let's go to Turks and Caicos," not Turks and Caicos, wherever she says, like whatever islands. And I'm like, oh, now they're going to Greece. Like they're going to elope in Greece and then the family's going to come too. And then it's like, no. And then the last half hour, this wedding takes place at the Chicago church. And I finally was forced to accept like, this movie does not take place in Greece. They never go to Greece. It's in Chicago the entire time.
You thought that long into the movie that they were there to go to Greece?
I was waiting for them to go to Greece. I don't know if I saw a picture or the poster or I don't know. I, for something about me, thought that this movie, the wedding took place in Greece.
That's really funny.
And it doesn't. So, you know, Chicago's fine, but I did have to adjust my expectations in the last five
that
minutes
is a
of
you
this
problem.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is also maybe a me problem. And I had to, again, dig deep. And I don't even know that I mean this, but we had to fill this category out. Sometimes, and I keep wanting to call him Aiden, John Corbett's long, luscious locks, he gets a blowout for the wedding that I find kind of humorous. And in general, his hair is down to his shoulders. And it works sometimes, but sometimes it doesn't. I'm just going to say that. And I think one of you at least disagrees.
I do disagree. I think this is a highlight. He has great hair and he's had great hair and everything. However, the low light and the one time it doesn't work for me is when he's at the school and he has these like creepy little glasses on when he's teaching. And like his hairline is a little bit far back and it like is kind of giving founding father in that moment. You know, like,
thank you.
It's a little bit like Benjamin Franklin energy. Like when he has the glasses and like the little bit receding hairline and then like the long hair. I was like,
now if you look like
you
look
like you were at the signing of the Constitution. So that was the only time that it didn't work for me.
Okay, wait. I'm happy you brought up the teacher aspect because I want to talk to you about this. And I also want to talk to the listeners. If any of you guys are teachers, please let me know. I'm fascinated by this trope in movies. Okay. Fucking every movie I watch where one of the people, especially a rom-com, is a teacher, the love interest, the random person that is not a teacher, does not work in that school, always is barging in, walking through the doors, no problem, goes to their classroom, is like staring in the little glass, the small glass that, you know, sees the teacher, mm-hmm. the teacher, in this case, it's John Corbett, and she does this to him too. Tula comes to the school. He looks, he's like, oh, everybody read for a couple minutes. And then he like walks out. They're in the classroom. I just rewatched Fever Pitch. Drew Barrymore came over like 1,000 times to that school. So this is probably an unanswerable question, but like, is that realistic? Can you just like walk into any high school and no. just...
Maybe not nowadays, but I think no. back then you could.
And when my mom used to work the welcome desk, she used to volunteer at the welcome desk, and you had to like sign people in. They had to like be called in ahead of time.
Yeah. And I mean, it's really cute as like a little scene and a trope, but yeah.
I mean, I guess it probably depends on the school and you probably can get in, but like, I think it has to be like kind of premeditated, you know, yeah. like I think it probably takes some working around.
Everybody's yeah. dropping around and just like interrupting classes and they have to like randomly read materials for a couple minutes. It's bizarre. Anyway. Okay, let's do what is age the best and the worst, Kate.
What is age the worst is me cutting off the exact hair that Tula, Nia, rocks in this movie. I was just watching and I was like, oh, the curls, they look so good. They're so healthy and long. And I very purposely rid myself of this exact hair. So
you did. You bleached your hair. It's not as well.
It's fine.
Beautiful and
it's
cool,
been a journey. But I did watching this, I was like, ooh. That's tough. That I do miss it a little bit.
That's really funny. Yeah, she rocks funny. Beautiful hair. A lot of
she,
beautiful
it looks
hair
incredible
movie,
on her. Yeah.
Yeah. Amelia?
Sorry. I'm still thinking about your Benjamin Franklin comment. I just, and now I want him in John Corbett as Benjamin Franklin in
he
Benjamin
could do it.
Franklin.
He yeah. could do it.
Totally. Let's do it, Showtime. Okay. I thought the best in best aging the best and worst is this movie. Come on, truly, it's perfect. I had no low lights because I couldn't think of anything. Because
oh, yeah, you didn't.
I know. I was like, I can't. No. This yeah. movie is so perfect. It's so good. Every minute of it, I love. So yeah.
Yeah, this was definitely a cringe mode, like for us. And then, you know, we mm-hmm. do some, I don't even know which one we do for them. But yeah, this was a treat to ourselves.
Yeah.
I was really searching for something that is like, you know, some technology that's aged really badly. And maybe because like what makes it, you know, 2002 about it. And there is not a lot of technology in this movie for me to base it off, which maybe then proves my point. Like this is a 2002 movie. Only thing, you know, is like she works at a travel agency. Her cousins can't work there because they don't know how to work a computer. Things like that. But otherwise, pretty timeless across the board.
Yes.
Loved it. Definitely. Okay. MVP. This was hard for this movie, but let's do it.
Yeah. I said Nia Vardalos, who is Tula in the movie. You know, this was all her. She wrote it. It was from a one-woman show that she did, and it was based on her life and her experiences marrying a non-Greek man who is the actor Ian Gomez, who plays Mike in the movie, who is mm-hmm. Ian Miller's best friend. But this is her vision. And thankfully, she got this movie made and Rita Wilson saw it and was like, yeah, I'll produce it or whatever. And yeah, it's just, and you can learn more about it, I'm sure, in Allison's piece. But she's just like, thank you, Nia. You did it. You did it. And we are forever grateful.
Agreed. I feel like all of us would have picked her had this, but that would have been a boring category. So I originally picked Windex, which is not a real answer, but because it has like its own identity in this movie. True. And when I think about it back pre-rewatching it, I think about Windex. but my real pick, if I had to choose, was my man Aiden, aka Joe Corbett, because his chemistry with her is amazing.
Off the charts.
So real. He really sells it every time. And so does she.
He does.
Yeah.
Agreed. Great picks. Again, I got here last, so I had to get creative. But I feel strongly about this. I love Andrea Martin, iconic character actress, Andrea Martin, who plays Aunt Vula in this movie. And if it's like, she's one of those actresses where like, listening to this, you're probably like, who is Andrea Martin? Maybe. But if you Google her, you're like, oh, her, you know, like you've seen her in a million things.
Yeah.
But she's just really funny in this movie. And she has these like very funny scene stealing moments. Like she feels Ian's hair, like the first time they meet, she just like grabs his hair and like caresses his luscious locks. And I was like, yep, it's you. It's you. You're my MVP. So
yeah,
that's a great pick.
That is a great pick.
Let's do lightning round real quick. This is a really funny question. Who wrote this?
Amelia.
I did.
Amelia. Amelia asks, is this Joey Fatone's peak that guy role? Great question.
Thank you.
I misunderstood this. I thought you meant this is like, is this Joey Fatone's peak acting role? And so I said, does Joey Fatone have other roles? Because I've never seen Joey Fatone act in anything.
In Lance Bass's movie, On the Line.
Oh, I'm so sorry for missing that one.
He appears on Impractical Jokers.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, he's fine in this. He doesn't have a lot to do, but it's like, oh, that's Joey Fatone when you see him.
It's a small role, but it's, you know, it's integral to the family portion of it. I think I meant this as like, I didn't specify enough, but his general role in pop culture as, you know, whatever he is he that guy, like he's that guy in NSYNC. He's the NSYNC guy. You know, I mean, you can say that for everyone in NSYNC, but I think honestly, this role is better than his role in NSYNC because again, it's just like he's background guy in NSYNC. And in this role, it's like, oh, he's family member in My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Bold claim. Yeah. I buy it. I wonder if he auditioned for the brother or something like that. Feels
you
like,
know what? I could see that.
A cousin. But he's in some of it. He's in some of this movie, I would say.
He is in some of this movie.
Yeah.
And that's all we can say about Joey Fatone. He is in this movie.
Okay. Next lightning round question. John Corbett. Is he most charming as the Sex and the City guy? My Big Fat Greek Wedding guy? Or To All the Boys I Loved Before guy?
First of all, incredible run of acronyms. Amelia posted this and it's SATC. MBFGW or TATBILB. I'm like, he's never allowed to do just like one word titles from now on. It has to be something that we can shorten into an acronym. I'm not like super well acquainted with him. Like these are kind of the only things I've seen him in, and I have only seen the Sex and the City movies that we did on Cringe Mode. I think he like looks the best in this. I do like the hair, like despite what I said. I'm not super familiar with Aiden, like in his prime. So I think that's like my blind spot. But he's extremely charming in all of these things. Like he's a clear highlight in all of these movies and shows.
He's such a good actor. He's perfect.
Great. He's very underrated.
In my head, he is Aiden. And I don't even recognize him as John Corbett. I will never remember that name because I watched Sex and the City and have rewatched it. So in my heart, he will always be that person. I think and that is his identity in my head. What about you?
Do you like his long hair better or his like short hair in the later Sex and the City movies?
Great question. I did poo-poo on his long hair in the Lowlights, but if he can rock it, he can rock it. He does have some volume, some curl.
Yeah.
You don't
draw
it just straight.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
It's true. I just love, I mean, this movie is so good and he's so charming in this. And the dad's like, Ian Miller. And I just love that because he is Ian Miller. He's really sweet and he goes along with everything. And what can I say? I mean, there's also, I was going to add this in the highlights too, but I was like, there are too many highlights. I'm sorry. But the relationship between Tula and her brother when Ian is getting baptized into the Greek Orthodox Church. And she's like, any minute now, he's going to look at me and go, right, you're so not worth this. And then the brother goes, yes, you are. I thought that was really sweet. And again, it just encompasses Ian's love for her and that he's willing to go through all these, you know, crazy things. And it's just like, it's so sweet. I just love this movie.
I haven't seen
so
you this happy in a long time. We should do this more often. We should, Amelia, you can dictate every cringe mode we do moving forward.
We'd have to rename the category, but it's fine. We could do that.
Just good, a movie
tea time
Amelia
reviews,
really
good
loves.
Movies. We'll okay. workshop it.
Let's do final category, Tea Time's Unanswerable Questions. Amelia,
this
go ahead.
Is so cursed.
Rude.
This has been in here since Monday. Amelia has been waiting to ask this question all week.
I'm so happy you said that, Keith.
Just the first thing in the outline this
okay,
week.
Listen. I have been really into wrestling lately. As I have stated before, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to get into the WWE. And now I am in. And there are other wrestling companies, whatever. I didn't know that. Okay, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so I'm going to circle back to wrestling because, again, I was watching these really great documentaries on Discovery Plus. There's a China one on there that I loved. There's a there's this Vice series called Dark Side of the Ring where you learn all the kind of nefarious things in professional wrestling. But I was wondering if any of the listeners have recommendations for, you know, books or documentaries. I'm really just using this as a personal, like, help me here to learn more about the WWE / WWF, because they had to rebrand, the Attitude Era in the 90s, where we saw the rise of D-Generation X, Triple H, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm really interested by them. And I also learned that Tarzan from Magic Mike, you know, the old guy who's like, my back, my knees. He was actually a huge effing deal in wrestling.
Amelia.
Yes.
Are you familiar with a little Ringer podcast called The Book of Wrestling?
Okay. I was just going to say that.
It is quite literally about the Attitude Era.
Oh, is it?
In partnership with the WWE.
It comes out on Wednesdays on the Ring of Wrestling.
It's already out.
Hosted by David Shoemaker.
Okay, I like David Shoemaker. I was going to say it's hosted by anyone other than David.
Fuck that guy.
No, I like him a lot. I was going to say I wouldn't listen to anyone but David Shoemaker.
There you go.
Talk about it. I swear to God, this was not like a plant. I swear to God, it was not.
Yeah, Amelia has no idea what's happening on a podcast network.
Yeah, I don't have all the 411 on all the podcasts like you guys do. So this is okay. My question has been answered. So never mind.
Wait, but you have another unanswerable question in here. I thought this was the main unanswerable question.
Okay, that's
she posted a picture of what's Tarzan's name in wrestling? His name is Tarzan.
Kevin
Magic
Nash.
Mike.
Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash. She posted a picture of Kevin Nash on his Magic Mike XXL poster, and in parentheses said, "Do I need to get out more, or is he kind of hot?" Question mark. Question mark. Question mark. Question mark. I thought this was the unanswerable question, Amelia.
Oh, no, it's not. Yeah.
I think both things can be true.
Okay.
I think. Listen, he's jacked. He's got
jacked.
Great hair.
He does.
And I think also
he's
possibly
grizzled.
You have been in Minnesota for too long.
I think that's, yeah, you're right.
Amelia?
Okay. Two for two. Both of my questions have been answered. Thank
Great.
You.
Great. I'm so glad.
She quite literally made the outline this week to put this question in.
Yes.
I'm really happy you got what you were looking for.
Thank you.
Okay. Last one, Kate.
So my unanswerable question is inspired by a post from Zillow Gone Wild, which posts weird listings and houses on Zillow. And this week, there is a house in Wisconsin. And Zillow Gone Wild said, this 420,000 LOL house in Onalaska, Wisconsin, is a good example of what happens when your Michael's obsession goes one sign too far. So there are several, you know, signs throughout the house. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, but it's like the live, laugh, love, the but first coffee, the, you know, the Chugi signs that you see on Pinterest and at TJ Maxx and, you know, a favorite of like white Midwestern moms above the age of 40.
There's also a great segment in Baskets about these signs. Anyways, sorry.
They're an ongoing joke, really, I think, of the past sort of 5 to 7 years that used to be beloved and still is. However, the last sign featured in this post is in the bedroom and it's above the bed and it says, welcome to Pound Town. So my question is, obviously Twitter just absolutely ran with this, but my question is, if you sold your apartment or house or your parents' house that you're currently in, Amelia, on Zillow today, you took pictures of every room as it currently is decorated, what is your pound sound sign? Like what's wow. the, and it doesn't have to be that bad. Obviously, I hope it isn't. But what is the weird or cringe thing that people would be tweeting pictures of your residence and being like, can you believe this apartment has so many this? Or like, zoom in on this. Or like, wait till you get to the last slide and you see this in the kitchen. Like, what's your embarrassing thing in your apartment that people would go viral on Twitter, if anything?
Great question.
Thank you.
I have an answer to this, Amelia, if you need some time to think.
Yes, please.
Liz, okay. Go for it.
So I, too, am currently living in my parents' house, which means I'm living in my childhood bedroom. And there is, at this point, a fossil on the wall of a sign that I made. I don't even remember when, perhaps when I was under 10, to keep people out of the room. Cute. And it has stayed. And I put that like sticky tack on it originally yes. back in the day. And I can't get it off now. And now it's like kind of this like auburn-y, like parchment material, like as if you like looked at a really like 18th century document. It looks like that now. But it says, and I pulled this up on Instagram because I was thinking about this question. It says, please knock or do not disturb, genius at work. I'm probably working on a play or book that I'm writing or doing homework, reading or cleaning up my room. Caution. I'm probably singing while doing so. At all costs, cover your ears and duck. Thank you, Liz. It looks like this. I'll text this to you guys.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
And it will be there forever. I can't get it off. I have actually tried multiple times. And I can't.
My God. I love a Liz Kelly childhood anecdote.
I know.
They never fail.
It has.
To entertain. Incredible.
Yeah, that shit like that is all over my room. And so you cannot peel it off at this point. So people would just have to buy it as is, I think.
Right. It would have to be like decorations come with.
Yes.
And you have to keep the sign up. Wow. Paint that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
That's so funny. That's and that I like how there's a lot of like stipulations too.
There are a lot of rules. Yeah.
I like that.
It makes sense. Like it makes sense. I obviously have nothing like the pound town sign. And I don't have anything like that because I kind of semi-recently moved. So I don't have that much embarrassing stuff. I would say one, I have like a lot of K-pop stuff, not like big, like standees. Like I don't have like, you're thinking like, oh, she has like a big, you know, like the One Direction standees that people used to have where they have like a full size Harry in their room. I don't have that. Mm-hmm. But like, if you zoom in, I think like, you know, magazines on the coffee table or like a print on the wall or like stuff like that, I think people would make fun of. Also in that vein, I am susceptible to cat things ever since I got a cat. Like I'll walk into TJ Maxx and I would never buy these kinds of signs, but like the things that are like cat people live here or like, you know, like that kind of thing. I'm always like, wow, I have a cat. And I feel like I just understand now where the like coffee lovers who see these signs are like, I have to tell the world that I love coffee. Like this is, I must buy this because I too love coffee. Like I get it now. Like I feel targeted by things with cats on them. So I do have like cat blankets and cat mugs and things like that
cute.
Now. Because I'm like, I just see it and I'm like, wow, I have a cat. That's for me.
You do. That cat is your child now.
It is. Yeah. So I don't, nothing, but like, yeah, I don't have anything that if I was in my parents' house, I probably could do better with this prompt that I, of course, came up with. But yeah, nothing huge. But I think I also have a lot of mugs for a single person. I feel like they would look in the kitchen and be like, one person lives here. Why are there 30 mugs in the cabinets? And I'd be like, you know what? It's a great question. It's a great question.
Amelia, looking behind you, it seems like you don't have anything embarrassing in your room either.
Yeah.
I actually really like that peace sign that you have, that you appear in front of sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was, my mom kind of added it after I left for college. But yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, I have this like little clay thing of like little paw prints from a hamster that I have when
that's
it died.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Guys, these are very sweet.
Yeah.
Are they?
It's sentimental.
The internet would never make fun of us for this. Oh. We're too good.
We'll see about that. I guess we'll see after we record this podcast.
It's true.
Okay.
All right. So no pound town signs. I feel good. I feel like, you know, I just had to make sure. You never know.
Yeah.
What people
I
have like hanging in their bedroom.
Both got answers to your questions, which rarely happens. So I'm
incredible.
Happy for you too.
Incredible.
Okay.
Thanks.
That's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to Kaya, our producer. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Alwell.
And I'm Amelia Wedmore.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.